We've been doing this series for the last couple of weeks on prayer, and the idea not to instruct into prayer, but to open up the doors for what prayer is, and maybe tell us a little bit about what it isn't. Communication is easier for some people than others, and if we believe that prayer is talking to God, then when you hear someone say, well, you should pray more, then we think that means more talking. Which can cause us, I think, sometimes to pack our prayers with filler. I'm a little bit like a hot dog, which technically is food, but the nutritional value is pretty questionable on that. Jesus' followers could have asked him to teach them anything, right? I mean, you think about it, and I've asked this question before. If you had a chance to ask Jesus to teach you anything, what would it be? I know for sure for me, I'm like, the walking on water thing is amazing. How can we do that? When do we start those lessons? I would have said that, or you know, help us multiply food so that 5,000 people can be fed from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But of all the things they noticed about how Jesus lived, they noticed something different, something radical about the way that he prayed compared to all the other religious leaders and rabbis of the time. And so they asked him to teach us how to pray. And that word radical, we often associate it with extravagant or over the top. It actually comes from the word root, which is, you know, that which is unseen rather than the showy, right? It's the part that gives the tree foundation and stability. And Jesus shows us that the truly radical, what's truly radical, isn't the one whose life appears extraordinary, but the one whose unseen communion with God is extraordinary. Living radically isn't about prominence. To Jesus, prayer was the root of his nourishment and strength. Jesus prayed out of an intimate and dependent relationship with God. And when he taught his followers, his disciples, about prayer, he invited them to enjoy that same communion with God that he had. And our series is about taking prayer out of the parentheses, right? In parentheses, when you put something in parentheses, well, it's nice, but it's really seen as optional. And you know, like I said, you could sort of make do without it. And our series has been about taking prayer out of that sort of nice and put it into where Jesus saw prayer. Jesus wanted us, his followers, to see prayer as normal and as necessary and as foundational as oxygen. And so when he was teaching about prayer, rather than teaching a how to pray seminar, Jesus taught more about what God was like in his character, because he recognized that how we view God, what our vision is of God, will directly impact how we relate to God. And Jesus was interested in that communion with God. And that word communion really means a relationship of recognition and acceptance. And I don't know where most of you are in terms of prayer. Maybe for some it makes you feel really uncomfortable, and certainly public prayer, you could just not do that. But maybe even in your own personal life, prayer just seems very hard to understand what's happening. But when we pray, when we turn our hearts to God, when we speak to him, we're confessing our dependency on him and demonstrating our need for him. And you might not have even recognized that in the moment, but that's what prayer is. We're confessing our dependency and recognizing our need for him and his provision. And the question I want to talk a little bit about this morning as we wrap up our series is, when our prayer, though, are limited to details and facts, with the goal of informing God, we might be talking to him, but are we communing with him? We might be talking to him, but are we communing with him? We might be talking to him, but is God listening because he's hoping to learn something that he didn't already know? Or does he maybe need our advice on who it is that he should heal? Or does he get distracted easily and he appreciates our reminders that the Leafs really need to win the Stanley Cup because they haven't done so since 1967, for those of us who are praying for that. But the question of God's omnipotence and his omniscience and I'll get to those words in a second, raises a really good question. If God already knows everything, and he's all-powerful, and we can't add to his knowledge or to his wisdom, then why do we pray? What real influence does our prayers, or do our prayers, have on him? In other words, can our prayers really change God's mind? Can it bend God's will? And that's the dilemma that lots of people have when it comes to prayer. Maybe some of you here this morning. It touches on this connection between God's sovereignty, his all-powerfulness, his all-knowingness, and human ability, which is, I think, a really interesting conversation to have at Starbucks. And there are lots of connections to free will and, you know, that philosophical question can keep theologians debating for lots of time. But it's actually not a problem that the Bible, that Scripture, struggles with. We do. Our modern minds get into this either-or kind of scenario. Either prayers influence God, and that means he's not unchangeable, or they don't influence God, and our prayers are silly. Kind of like this. Either God is completely in control, and his will is what is done, so praying will not change his mind. Prayer is pointless in that regard. Or God can and will change his mind. So if you ask for the right things at the right time in the right way, you can influence or in some ways control what God does. And so we, our modern minds, see it as an either or situation. It's either God's sovereignty or it's human activity. But if you read through the Bible, the authors of the Bible, they saw it differently. They didn't see it as either or. They were much more comfortable with this mystery of both and. For example, Paul, who wrote most of the letters that make up the New Testament, he's writing to encourage early Christians in the church at Philippi. And he says this, "We ought to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." And so our modern minds read that and we say, well, wait a second, Paul, well, who's doing the work? Is it me or is it God? But that's not a question that Paul's really interested in answering, because it's not a question that the ancients would ask. And Scripture doesn't answer the question, is God sovereign, or do our prayers make a difference? Instead, Scripture affirms that God is sovereign and our prayers make a difference. Now, how exactly does that work? Well, the truth is, I don't have any idea how it works. What I do know is that God's desire is communion with his creation and to, in some way, manifest his sovereignty in the world, in us, through us, and with us. I'm going to say that one more time. God's desire is for communion with his creation and to manifest his power, manifest his sovereignty in the world, in us, through us, and with us. We are invited to walk with him and work with him. We're actually expected to make our requests known to him in prayer, because prayer is how the walking and the working of God and humanity happens. It's our wills and God's will mingled together. But if, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, which we talked about in our previous series, if God already knows everything before we even ask him, right? Jesus says, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Then the question is, why do we ask him for anything at all if he already knows? Now, in other religious traditions that are certainly more superstitious, it would make sense to pray using the right words at the right time. That's how you would control, or that's how you provoked a response from those particular deities or those particular gods to act. But the God of Christianity, the Almighty God, the Creator God, who, by trusting in Jesus, we get to call Father, he's not ignorant to things. He's not manipulated by humans. And our prayers certainly don't add to his knowledge. Christian prayer isn't a means of informing or controlling God, because nothing's hidden from him, and there is none more powerful. So it's out of a desire to have relationship with us, communion with us, that he invites us and encourages us to bring ourselves and our requests to him through prayer. It's through prayer that we participate with God and are known as people rather than just as objects of his knowledge. And here's what I mean. There's this really great story in Acts chapter 3, and it's the story of Peter and John, who are two of the early followers of Jesus, two of the apostles. They're entering the temple area for the daily time of prayer. And there's a man that has been unable to walk for many, many, many years. He's sitting, as he did every day at the entrance to the temple, begging. Everybody that walks in has gotten used to seeing him there, and he's become part of the kind of the background scenery. It's like one of the decorations, really, in the temple. And he, in the eyes of others, had been reduced to an object that was easily ignored and overlooked by the crowds as they, you know, would come and go. Now, Peter knows the man's needs, and he could have healed him immediately. But first, Peter says to the man, "Look at us. Look at us." Very gently, just look at us. And the man lifts his head and he looks at Peter and John. And by looking at Peter and John, he relates to them as a fellow human being. And they met his need for healing as a person rather than as an object or as a project. And our Heavenly Father knows and sees our needs, and he can meet them without our prayers, but he longs to give us something more. He wants to give us himself. Our wholeness, our completeness, and I love there's a beautiful Jewish word, the word shalom. You probably heard it. It means wholeness and complete and flourishing in every compartment of life. Our wholeness is not found in the removing of our circumstances, bad though they may be, or continuing with circumstances as good as they may be. Our completeness, our shalom, is found in a close communal relationship with God. It's C.S. Lewis who wrote many, many books. You might be most familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia. He said, "Through prayer, we humans assume the high rank of persons before him, and he, descending, becomes a person to us. In prayer, we look upon the face of God, and he bestows on us the unimaginable dignity of looking back." I love that. When we bring ourselves to God in prayer, God looks at us. The creator of everything bestows dignity on his creation by looking at us, by communing with us. This dignity of being seen, communion, of being looked at. To pray like Jesus prayed is to then be filled with the reality or the awareness of the presence of God. Now, some people look at prayer and they equate it with meditation. And they say it's kind of the same thing. They equate it together as some sort of form of self-therapy with a little bit of, you know, spirituality kind of sprinkled in. And in some places, it's encouraged, regardless of whether, you know, someone has a relationship with God or not. It's encouraged. Prayer as a self-improvement practice that anybody who's, you know, conscious of their health would do, like working out or, you know, eating your vegetables. But Christian prayer isn't like a soul cleanse, where we, you know, empty ourselves of our sort of negative thoughts or our, you know, all the kind of stuff of life, right? That's not what prayer is. It's not just an emptying of all the stuff that we've dealt with. Because the truth is, an empty cup is still an empty cup. And that's the difference between communion with God and just sort of therapeutic meditation, which can be helpful. But if it's just about emptying ourselves, then we're just left with an empty cup. The emphasis on emptying kind of sets it apart and puts it in a different category than Christian prayer. Henry Nouwen said it this way: to pray, I think, does not mean to think about God in contrast to thinking about other things, or to spend time with God instead of spending time with other people. Rather, it means to think and live in the presence of God. Prayer isn't an emptying of ourselves or an escape from the world. It's a positioning of ourselves to be filled with the awareness and the reality and the presence of God. It's that communion. It's walking around and realizing that when God says he will never leave us even one step behind or forsake us, that he means that. That's what God desires for us. Communion with his creation. It's, a positioning of ourselves to be filled with the fullness of God and to carry that reality of his presence into all that we do. Rooted in a communal relationship, we are loved and assured and protected no matter what. And when you think about that, you think about all it is that you have to, you know, on your plate for today or your plate for tomorrow or this week or this month or whatever it is that's on your plate, on your, you know, that your journey is going to encompass for the next, you know, number of days. You think about going to God in prayer, not just with a list of this is what my needs are, because God already knows them. God wants to give us so much more than just answers. He wants to give us himself. And so prayer then becomes this how we can this take the reality of God's presence with us wherever it is that we are going. And that's how we can live out of the love of God and live out the love of God in whatever it is that we do. And we talk about where do we get our sense of identity from? Our sense of identity has always been meant to come from a whole, or that word shalom, a whole relationship with God. Knowing that no matter what we do, where we go, God is with us. God not just kind of hanging around at the back. He is with us. He has given us his Holy Spirit when we put our trust in Jesus. That's the kind of wherever, whatever, whenever relationship that God desires with his creation. Communion. And obviously the opportunity to come before him in ways like we do on a Sunday morning, or we come together, you know, we bow our heads, we talk to God 24/7. It's not about here's how you do it, it's about here's how you step into it and walk in it and have communion. And my encouragement, my plan for this series was not that we would learn how to pray better, but that we would consider prayer the privilege to walk with God 24/7, 365, and enjoy a relationship with him where we can speak as a friend, and we can listen, and we can work and have communion. And so as I close this morning, my prayer is going to be for us the same prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I'm going to lead you in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're here, and you don't just inhabit this building, but Lord, there is something special when we, your creation, comes together to worship, to seek, to understand, to love, to be loved. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here, but I thank you, Lord, for your presence with us wherever we go. That joy of a relationship bought through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, sometimes we think about a relationship with you, and as your disciples said to you when they saw Jesus speaking to you, teach us to have that. Teach us to pray. Teach us to have communion. And Lord, we are here this morning at varying places in our understanding of you and our journey with you. We thank you for the privilege of being able to walk together and to share our stories and to learn and ask questions and to grow. But Lord, each of us longs to have what it is that you want to give us, which is communion. Lord, a confident relationship of dependence and acceptance and recognition. And Lord, as we try our best to reach out, to bring our needs to you in whatever form that looks like, Lord, would you continue to meet us right at that place and walk with us, that we wouldn't just make an appointment and then walk away, but we would keep walking. Okay. Lord, deepen our desire for communion with you. Thank you that you know all of our needs, that you are unchangeable, you are all-powerful. And Lord, yet there's something that we lack when we bring our needs to you that isn't fulfilled if we just have our circumstances changed, or we just get this, or we don't get that, or this happens, or this doesn't happen. We would still lack if we didn't have you. That's what we long for. And Father, my prayer for each of us is that we would take a cannonball dive into the depths of how much you love us and explore what a relationship with you, what a relationship of communion means. Lord, when we take that next step, however large or small that step may be for us, Lord, thank you that you meet us right there and you're excited. Lord, we praise you. Jesus said to his followers, when you pray, say, "Our Father." And Lord, we get to call you Daddy. And our desire is to know you in that relationship of intimate dependency that Jesus had. And that is our request this morning. We want to have more communion with you. And Lord, for those who have specific, and their needs are so prevalent that they can only see the needs, Lord, please meet them in that cry of their heart. Thank you that you do. Thank you that you don't wait for the right words or the right, the posture of a heart that reaches out to you is all you need. And Lord, for those that are here this morning and their hearts are crying out to you, thank you that you already know before they even formed the words. Your love is limitless. Please help them this day to know your presence in a way that is well beyond just the words that they use to speak with you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you intercede for us. Thank you that Jesus sits at your right hand interceding, and that we have an advocate in the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. We want to know you more. Continue to meet us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.